This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin, with me, Melissa Idris, and Brian Fernandes with the top business stories of the day. We're going to take a look at our retirement funds, at least those that are in the Retirement Fund Incorporated, are better known by its Malay acronym, QAP. It is setting a new target for a return on investments of more than 6% this year. This would be the highest since 2014.
Yeah, so QAP is the Civil Service Pension Fund. It currently has about 125 billion ringgit of assets under management. Now, in the past, the returns, in fact, peaked in recent history at 2013, where, in fact, contributors received 7.05%, and that was the highest. The most recent, however, 2015, it was only 5.41%. 2016, it was only 5.35%. So according to its CEO, Datuk Wan Kamaruzaman Wan Ahmad, the targeted returns are as a result of higher exposure to equity and alternative assets, such as property, infrastructure, private equity, and also technology. Now, this is a change from their traditional asset allocation strategy, which is very focused really on only fixed income and equities.
Brian, we recently had the QAP CEO, Dato' Wan Kamaruzaman, on The Breakfast Grill, outlining their overall investment strategy for alternative assets.
I think we do like the alternative space, especially in real estate, but we do have a challenge in taking the money out and invest overseas. So we probably rejig that allocation within the overall 14 or higher percentage. You know, we probably will have to rejig between what is domestic and what is international or global, you know, and then the space of private equity and infrastructure, we might add one or two more asset class within the alternative space. But I think the difference will not be that significant. Probably 2 percentage points will probably be what it will be likely, you know, a higher by 2 percentage points from the 14% that we have currently.
That was QAP CEO Datuk Wan Kamaruzaman, who spoke to Tan Chung Han in December last year. Now, to catch that conversation in full, you can go to, you can find it on the BFM app, which you can download on the Apple App Store or Google Play.
Yeah, it was a really good conversation there. However, I do, a couple of things that he said there that made, you know, that was quite interesting. The current asset allocation, that they're looking at perhaps rejigging some of that, you know, money that can be taken overseas. However, that is their biggest challenge, right? The ability to invest abroad. Right now, I think they have a 12% asset allocation. They're looking to increase that up to 15%. We heard Datuk Wan Kamaruzaman saying that it almost is about within 14% or higher. You know, and it's great to kind of move away from this home country bias. You want to, you know, you want to take part in the really growing global markets. Global markets have hit record highs and have been, you know, really outperforming. So why not get a slice of that for the civil servants' pensions?
Yeah, it's also a risk diversification strategy. If you've got, as you correctly mentioned, home country bias, I think you then don't you're essentially putting all your eggs in one basket, and so taking the money out, spreading it across markets, definitely helps in terms of long-term returns.
When I think of diversification, when I think of spreading eggs, I'm thinking of omelets. I'm thinking of scrambled eggs.
You're hungry.
Well, yeah, no, yeah, yes, I am, and I also, you know, I'm willing to go with that metaphor, right? Of, you know, eggs in different baskets. But what kind of alternative investments are we talking about, Brian?
So if you recall that in April of last year, it made a $30 million investment in Uber. It also brought a 45% stake in a solar farm operator, Vortex Solar. It also took a 5.4% stake in Axiata's telecommunications tower unit, EDOTCO Group. Now, it's also looking to participate in a fund that Alibaba is looking to raise.
Now, what about the local space? I mean, what do we know about how they're making their investments domestically?
I think the insurance space is going to be interesting going forward. And I'm sure QAP has a close eye on that. You know, the Bank Negara deadline for foreign insurers to meet the 30% local shareholdings. That's coming up soon, June, I believe. So there you go. QAP perhaps looking at purchasing a stake in Prudential Assurance and Great Eastern. What we know so far is that QAP has submitted one of the, to one of these insurance insurance companies, and they're hoping to see some progress, hopefully by the end of this quarter. And, you know, if they do decide to take a stake in both of these insurance, Prudential and Great Eastern, then it's probably going to be done in stages.
Yeah, so the, what's driving this interest in for foreign investors, foreign insurers who are in Malaysia, to divest their stakes? Well, it's all about the deadline that they are facing. In June, they have to divest 30% of their stakes local in their local operations by June 2018.
Okay, now we're talking about returns of investment, because the performance of these companies that are going to be invested in or potentially are there. It's earnings season now, and we look at some of the results that have come out in the last few hours from the Four A's, as they call them. You know, it used to be the Four Heavenly Kings, and then we had the FANG stocks, and then Apple, Alphabet, Amazon, and Alibaba.
The Four Heavenly A's.
The Four Heavenly Kings?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I do know them. So Apple,
Aaron Kwok was an A.
I'm sure you know all four by heart. Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, and Alibaba. So let's take a look at Apple first. They reported their quarterly earnings earlier this morning. Now, the company reported record revenue of $88.3 billion. Profit as well rose 12% to more than $20 billion, also a record. However, they did sell fewer iPhones compared to the year before. 77.3 million iPhones. It's slightly down 1% from a year before. But still, that was enough to, I guess, make some analysts worried, given that it was below analyst projections.
But Melissa, part of that is because the average selling price of an iPhone has actually gone up, because essentially the iPhone 10, for example, the starting price is actually $1,000. So the average selling price has in fact gone up by 15%. Now that helped to propel total revenue, as you mentioned earlier, to an all-time high of, it went up 13%.
Now, what about the areas of concern for Apple? What are the headwinds, and how is that, you know, likely to affect their stock valuations?
You know, analysts, Sharad, they're all very nervous when it comes to Apple. Very nervous. Any kind of small change also will be quite nervous. One of their biggest concerns is the fact that they're worried Apple is too dependent on the iPhone, which accounts for 2/3 of its sales, partly because many customers are holding on to their phones longer. If you look at annual sales of iPhones in Apple's latest fiscal year through September, they were still well below their peak 2 years ago, and no other product has caught up with the same nearly with the same intensity. So I'm wondering whether the nervousness within the analyst community is misplaced.
So Melissa, one of the nervousness that's plagued the community is the fact that Apple has forecast actually lower than expected revenue for the current quarter. They're forecasting revenue of only between 60 to 62 billion, which is far below what average analysts were looking at, which was basically in the region of $66 billion. Now, however, having said that, Apple has cash reserves of a record $285 billion.
That is massive.
And that's
massive.
More than many countries in the developing
GDP.
World. Okay, we move from Apple to the other A, Alphabet.
Okay, Alphabet, so the A of Alphabet, has missed its quarterly profit targets despite strong sales. And this is because of higher expenses that had offset growing demand for some of the pricier ads on their mobile apps. Now, Alphabet reported a loss of $3 billion for the fourth quarter. And they also are part of this, a few companies within corporate America that are reporting a large one-time expense in the fourth quarter because of the new tax legislation that came into effect in December. And it lowers the corporate rates.
Yeah, so Alphabet set aside $11 billion for taxes and some $10 billion for taxes on repatriated earnings. So its quarterly revenue actually is actually very good. It went up 24% in the last 3 months of 2017 to $32.3 billion. If you strip out the one-time tax implications, the quarterly profit actually came in at $6.8 billion on $9.70 a share. Now, it missed estimates of $7 billion.
Okay. Now, they also announced changes in the boardroom with the appointment of a new chairman. Is this a consequence of some of this negative news?
No. Eric Schmidt announced his departure in December. So now they've named a new board member and former Stanford University president as chairman. John Hennessy is his name. He's going to be replacing Eric Schmidt. And Hennessy has been a board member since 2014. So he has been with the company for a while. But whether he will have the same name recognition as Eric Schmidt. You know Eric Schmidt as Google and Google as Eric Schmidt, but whether we will know John Hennessy and make the same association, much like Tim Cook and Steve Jobs, can, you know, there's always that personality association to these tech giants.
Well, I don't know about you, but Hennessy is a great spirit, and and people who have imbibed it know its quality.
I hope you're
quality.
Talking about his personality.
Absolutely. Now we move on to the next A. Brian, Amazon.
Now, so Amazon reported a profit of near $2 billion. Now, it's its largest ever in its history. Now, it drew millions of new customers to its Prime account, so its fast shipping club. It's also changes in the U.S. tax law added to its bottom line, and its net income more than doubled. So on average, analysts were expecting just $1.85 per share in terms of earnings. It came in at $3.75.
But what's interesting is Amazon's stock has gone up 50% since the start of the first quarter. That is a remarkable rise in its stock price. If you compare that to the S&P's performance, perhaps a 12% rise. So make the, you know, it's how many times they outperform the S&P.
Okay, we can't forget this because coming from Asia, Alibaba, the fourth A in that list of A's, Brian.
Yeah, so just another online retailer, record profits. Its revenue grew 56% from a year ago to a record of $12.8 billion. Now, profits came in at $3.7 billion. So now, having said that, however, the December quarter has always been big for Alibaba because of Singles Day, the annual shopping bonanza in China on the 11th of November.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting because, you know, if you part of this increase really came from its acquisitions, Alibaba's acquisitions into the physical retail space. If you strip that out, that means revenue would only have grown 41%.
Well, that's still very impressive.
I have to say, only 41%. But still, it's impressive, but slightly slower than the past 2 years. However, this push into physical retail, the online into offline has been really why Alibaba has been able to make this achievement.
Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll be back after the bulletin with the opening numbers in the stock market and more business news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.